Hello, this is Donna, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the weekend edition of the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Micron revenues and profits surged to all-time highs in the latest quarter by Kevin Tampone. Micron Technology posted record revenues again in its latest quarterly results. The company's total revenue of $41.5 billion for the quarter that ended in May, the third in Micron's fiscal year, was more than 73% higher than the previous quarter and up more than fourfold from a year ago. Micron has set records for revenues multiple times in recent quarters. The company released its new results this Wednesday. Micron's profits for the quarter was more than $28.2 billion, more than double the previous period and more than 14 times higher than a year ago. Micron's record fiscal quarter three financial results and even stronger outlook for quarter four reflect the strategic value of memory in the AI era, Micron CEO Sanjay Mehrotra said in a news release. Micron is investing in record levels in technology, products, and supply to address our customers' rapidly growing demand. We believe our multi-year strategic customer agreements will significantly enhance the durability and predictability of Micron's strong financial performance. Micron broke ground in January on a massive chip-making complex in central New York. Micron's performance has skyrocketed in the recent months as demand for its chips has surged. In May, Micron became one of the world's fewest companies worth more than $1 trillion. That exclusive club includes firms like Meta, Google, Amazon, Apple, and Walmart. Micron's stock price is currently more than $1,000 per share. That's more than 10 times higher than it was 5 years ago. Right now, Micron and other memory chip companies are booming because their high-bandwidth memory chips are desperately needed for AI and data centers. Companies such as Nvidia, Tesla, and Google are buying all the chips they can and still demanding more. Investors can be fickle, though, and crashes can follow rapid rises, especially in the cyclical world of computer chips. Just a few years ago, Micron and other chip companies faced a significant slump. Micron says it will build two fabrication plants, or fabs, over the next decade in the corner of Route 31 and Canandaigua Road in the town of Clay. The company could receive $25 billion in taxpayer subsidies to build those two fabs, which Micron said would employ about 4,500 people. Micron says it plans to build a total of four fabs by 2045, with a total employment of about 9,000 people. Those factories would turn out billions of dynamic random access memory chips, known as DRAM, used in artificial intelligence, appliances, cell phones, and other products. This weekend, you can fish for free in New York State by Steve Featherstone. Yeah, it's summertime and the fishing's easy. Well, maybe not easy, but it is free this weekend. The State Department of Environmental Conservation is waiving freshwater fishing license fees June 27th and 28th. No fishing license is required for residents and non-residents alike, 16 and older. Kids under 16 always fish for free. Potential anglers won't need a license for free fishing days, but you will need to obey all the other fishing regulations. For anyone who wants to try fishing but aren't sure where to start, the DEC has several free training clinics available. To make fishing more affordable and to inspire the next generation of anglers, DEC partners with libraries across the state in the Fishing Rod Lending Program. Library patrons can sign out a book on fishing, along with actual fishing equipment, the spin casting rods, bobbers, and hooks. For more information and a list of more than 80 participating libraries, visit the DEC's website. New York has two more designated free fishing days for 2026. That is September 26, which is National Hunting and Fishing Day, and November 11th for Veterans Day. The free fishing day programs began in 1991 to encourage New Yorkers to wet a line and maybe buy a fishing license, which supports conservation. You can email your photos to sfeatherstone@syracuse.com if you catch anything this weekend. Just make sure to provide names of anyone in the photo, the hometown, the fish type, the general location, the length and weight if possible, and the bait you used. And if you add some colorful details, we'll enjoy it because we all like a good fish story. Headlines from around the area in Cortland County. Smoke alarms alert two people who escaped a fire in Preble, from Elizabeth Duran. Two people escaped a fire in a mobile home in Preble early Friday thanks to a smoke alarm, said Preble Fire Chief Ryan Austin. Cortland County Sheriff's Office deputies discovered a heavy fire at the rear of a home when they arrived at Mountain View Trailer Park at 6604 Route 281. Firefighters arrived and knocked the fire down in about a half an hour, Austin said. The smoke alarm saved the two residents' lives. The mobile home, of course, was destroyed. There are no injuries, and the cause of the fire is still under investigation. The State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services Fire Investigation Team is assisting with investigating the cause of the fire. From Oswego County, a contractor accused of stealing $3,500 meant for a project from Vince Gasparini. Deputies in Oswego County arrested a Marcellus contractor who say they stole thousands of dollars. Paul Conklin, 67, was charged with third-degree grand larceny and misappropriation of funds of trust, according to a news release from Lieutenant Andrew Boucher, a spokesperson for the Oswego County Sheriff's Department. Conklin had received $3,500 to do home improvements, which were never done, according to the release. He had been under investigation since last August. Deputies found that Conklin also does business as Capital Home Improvements and Capital Home Construction, LLC. Deputies ask anyone who believes they are a victim or anyone with information about this to contact the Sheriff's Office at 315-349-3411. And from Van Buren, a man was taken to the hospital after his car smashes into a smoke shop, from Finn Lincoln. A man was taken to the hospital Wednesday morning after his car smashed through the wall of a smoke shop in Van Buren. The vehicle went through a corner of the building, causing walls to collapse onto the car. Smashed glass and wooden splinters littered the ground. Police, firefighters, and an ambulance were sent to 7249 State Fair Boulevard at about 9:50 a.m., according to Lakeside Fire Chief Manny Falcone. The driver possibly had a medical emergency, Falcone said. He was able to climb out the passenger side of the car and was taken to the hospital for evaluation. He had no apparent injuries. SVIP Smoke Line, a smoke and convenience shop, will have to be closed for the building to be inspected by codes officials, said Marwan Mohsen, one of the owners of the building. It is unclear if the building is totally stable. The smoke shop was one of several businesses and apartments in that building. From the business pages, after seven decades, a Cicero greenhouse business says goodbye, from Renee Fox. At Zerillo Gardens, the year moves with the plants, hanging baskets spilling over with pansies and begonias in spring and summer, deep red poinsettias in winter. This year, that cycle is coming to an end. The longtime greenhouse and nursery, a fixture at the far end of East Taft Road for generations of Central New York gardeners, plans to close mid-July as the family behind it steps away after decades of work. Third-generation owner Terry Zerillo Greenier said the decision came as her parents, both in their 80s, prepare to retire after a lifetime of running the business. My father, George, is the head grower. My mother, Rosemary, does all the bookwork. It's the hardest part, and it's a well-deserved retirement. A final closing date has not been set, so gardeners still have a few weeks left to shop and lean on the advice that has made Zerillo Gardens a trusted stop for decades. The family has not decided what will happen to the property, which includes 21 greenhouses on Taft Road. Zerillo Gardens began in 1950 when Zerillo Greenier's grandfather started growing plants in the city of Syracuse. In the 1970s, her father, George Zerillo, moved the operation to East Taft Row, starting with a single greenhouse. For years, the business served other growers and businesses. About three decades ago, the family opened the business to the public for retail sales, turning the property into a destination filled with bright colors and earthy smells. At its busiest, Zerillo Gardens operates with a close-knit staff of about 10. Most of them are family members or part-time employees with a few volunteers. Zerillo Greenier said her brothers Nick and Tony have helped a lot over the years, and many of the children in the family worked there as teens. Customers come for flowers and vegetables, and they often stay for advice and conversation. Sometimes they just come here to wander through the greenhouses, Zerillo Greenier said. For longtime customer Ray Carney, that routine has become part of everyday life. I'm very disappointed, he said, of the closing, but I'm happy for the family. He joked that he's unsure where he'll shop next, likely wherever George Zerillo ends up. Like many customers, he said he would miss not just the plants, but the people. Zerillo Greenier said that gardening offers something deeper than a retail experience. It gives people a reason to get outside, move, and focus on something positive. You're bending, you're stretching, it's mental. She says it gives you hope. That connection between people, plants, and place defines the business. I've watched people go through everything in their life, Zerillo Greenier said. Their parents passing, they have children, and now their kids come here. And employees will see it as well. It's family, said Katie Vanelli, who works at the greenhouse, and they will all be missed. In manufacturing news, TTM Technologies will open a $130 million DeWitt expansion by Mark Weiner. TTM Technologies has opened a $130 million expansion of its printed circuit board plant, promising to create up to 400 new engineering and manufacturing jobs. TTM executives, joined by state and local elected officials, cut the ribbon on the 250,000-square-foot building that will be known as Syracuse Diamond. The plant will make electronics for the domestic defense and aerospace industries. The company's ultra-high-density print circuit boards are used for radar, missile defense, and other weapon systems. U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, helped the company obtain a $30 million grant for the expansion from the Department of Defense because of the plant's national security significance. Circuit boards, which connect computer chips to electronic devices, are mostly made overseas. About 96% of the world's supply is made in China and other Asian nations, according to TTM. U.S. officials had national security concerns because virtually all defense systems require circuit boards. TTM built the expansion on 23 acres along Fly Road in DeWitt, near its existing plant on Kirkville Road, which already employs more than 500 people. TTM, based in California, bought Enerin Inc. of DeWitt in 2018. Under terms of a deal with the state, New York will provide TTM with up to $17 million in tax credits from the Excelsior Jobs Program if the company meets its job and investment commitments. In more business news, Customer Satisfaction Index elevates Jersey Mike's to the top of the ranking. From Jeff Herbert, Rick Moriarty, and Kelly Corbett. What is America's best fast food restaurant? Well, there's a new number one as Chick-fil-A has been dethroned on the list of top-rated quick service restaurants, according to the American Customer Satisfaction Index. The chicken chain topped the rankings for 11 years, but sandwich shop Jersey Mike's is officially the new king. Jersey Mike's had a top score of 84 out of 100, according to the 2026 report, based on 14,464 customer surveys. Chick-fil-A fell to second place in the U.S. with an 83, the same score it had last year. Rounding up the top five national fast food chains are number three, Jimmy John's, number four, Panda Express, and number five, KFC. The rest of the top 10 included Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Raising Cane's, and Starbucks. According to the survey, customers praised Jersey Mike's for freshness, food variety, and value. The U.S. restaurant industry faced difficulties in 2025, with total sales struggling to keep pace with inflation, said the report. In a market defined by trade-offs, customers are placing greater emphasis on consistency, reliability, and perceived value as opposed to just price. Brands that deliver a consistently enjoyable experience are gaining ground. According to USA Today, Jersey Mike's may have gained ground in part by adding 238 locations in 2025 and earning more than $4.2 billion in sales. Jersey Mike's currently has more than 3,300 shops in the U.S., including 122 in New York State and 5 in the Syracuse area. Amongst sandwich and sub shops, Jersey Mike's ranked number one ahead of Jimmy John's, Subway's, and Arby's. Jersey Mike's success is consistent with their business performance, including rapid unit growth, strong customer demand, and a model designed around thorough and off-premise conveniences from a high digital pickup usage, the report said. The chain's menu is fairly narrow, and they have a model conducive to franchisee success. Chick-fil-A topped the list of chicken eateries, followed by KFC, Raising Cane's, Wingstop, and Popeyes. Raising Cane's was also not ranked last year, but it has been expanding. Papa John's and Pizza Hut tied for the highest score amongst pizzerias with an 80 out of 100. Domino's and Little Caesars were the next most popular pizza joints. For burgers, Burger King was the king this year with 77 out of 100. Culver's, Sonic Drive-In, Wendy's, and Five Guys held the other top five spots for burgers, And longtime favorites McDonald's was seventh in the category with a 72 out of 100. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Chick-fil-A has opened a second limited menu pop-up stand at the Syracuse Syracuse Hancock International Airport. Say that fast three times. A Chick-fil-A opened in January next to Johnny Rockets in the post-security section of the airport. An identical Chick-fil-A opened next to the rental car counter in the pre-security section of the airport back in September of 2024. Both stands offer limited menus that include the chain's famous chicken sandwiches, and they have very limited hours. The new stand is open from 10 to 5 Mondays. The older location is open the same hours on Thursdays. Both are operated by Jim Sikowski, who owns a Chick-fil-A in Cicero. The food offered at the airport locations is initially prepared at the Cicero location and then brought to the airport. Though it is only open one day a week, the Chick-fil-A in the pre-security section of the airport fills a need for food options in that area, says Jason Mell, Chief Commercial Officer for the Syracuse Regional Airport Authority. The airport had trouble luring food vendors to the pre-security area because most travelers want to get through the TSA security checkpoint as quickly as possible when they arrive. They said the stand was successful enough that they decided to open a second one in the post-security area. McDonald's is bringing back a fan favorite treat just in time for supper. Summer. The fried apple pie is making an epic comeback. Yes, fried. While McDonald's baked apple pie has since become a menu staple, it's the fried apple pie, which has a filling made with American-grown apples wrapped in a fried crust, that hasn't been on the menu since the 1990s. The sweet and savory treat, which will be an all-day menu item, is returning for a special occasion, America's 250th anniversary. It began hitting menus last week, marking the dessert's first widespread national return in more than 30 years. There are certain things that just take you back, and the fried apple pie is one of them. It's something that people love and remember from growing up, Eric Cochran, a McDonald's owner and operator, said in a statement per Fox News. Bringing the fried apple pie back for fans this summer to celebrate the 250th just feels right. McDonald's discontinued the fried version in 1992 and replaced it with a baked pie as consumers became more aware of fat and cholesterol consumption. The U.S. Department of Agriculture published its food guide pyramid that same year. The fried pies have remained available in Hawaii and continued to be sold in other countries, including the UK, Mexico, Greece, Australia, and China. CVS is making a major change to its pill bottles for selected medication. According to Wired, the pharmacy chain is ditching the plastic containers for aluminum containers for several of its store brand over-the-counter meds. This will make the containers more eco-friendly without raising prices. No changes will be made to the meds themselves. This change will affect first value-sized allergy and pain relief products containers with the same ingredients as Tylenol, Advil, Benadryl, and Claritin. Mike Weir, Vice President of Store Brands at CVS, told the outlet that this new packaging offers practicable and sustainability benefits. Aluminum provides a strong barrier to help maintain stability and shelf life, he said, noting the material performs similarly to traditional options. The company opted for aluminum because it's more widely accepted in recycling programs than hard plastic containers, even though both materials are technically recyclable. New aluminum bottles weigh less than their plastic predecessors. Customers will still need to remove product labels and plastic caps before recycling the aluminum containers. The caps used on the aluminum bottles are the same as those on the plastic bottles and must be stored separately for disposal. This move is part of a broader brand refresh for CVS, which closed approximately 271 stores across the United States over the past year. CVS is still the largest pharmacy chain in the United States. As for now, CVS is monitoring customer response to the aluminum packaging before deciding whether to expand the material to other medications or to prescription orders. There's not much to report in local sports news because everyone is focused on, of course, the National League baseball and the soccer playoffs. But in college basketball, Syracuse men and women will face UConn in October from Donna DeTota. The Syracuse men's and women's basketball teams will play Connecticut in October exhibition games. The women meet the Huskies October 12th. The men play UConn October 13th. The games will be played at Mohegan Sun Arena in Unkinsville, Connecticut. This is the third year the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame has presented an exhibition event at the Connecticut Casino. Syracuse and UConn were once Big East rivals until the Orange left for the ACC in 2013. Since then, the UConn men have won three national titles. The women, for decades as a powerhouse under Genio Orima, won four national championships since 2013. The Connecticut women have won NCAA record 12 titles overall. The men's basketball programs have not met since November of 2018, when the Huskies topped the Orange at 83-76. Tyus Battle, who now serves as SU's Director of Player Development, dropped 16 points in that game. Syracuse women's teams are all too familiar with each other, much to the dismay of SU coach Felicia Leggett-Jack, who upbraided the NCAA for continually putting Syracuse and Connecticut in the same postseason tournament bracket. The Orange lost to UConn 98-45 last March to end its 2025-26 season. Since Leggett-Jack took over SU women's program in 2022, her teams have twice lost NCAA tournament games to UConn in stores. UConn also eliminated the Orange in 2021, 2017, and 2016. Geno has this thing going, and I love what he's done, but I thought we deserved a little more respect after being in this business for 37 years, Leggett-Jack told reporters last March. To have come and be in this particular bracket every year is unacceptable, and it's wrong. This time, the games don't count toward each other's team record. Well, now that it's summertime, take a look at the weather with me, and let's see what the following week is going to look like for things to do outside. On Monday, we do have a slight chance of isolated showers, and it's going to get a little warmer this week, folks. High of 88 on Monday. On Tuesday, a chance of thunderstorms because of the heat, because it's going to be around 90. 94 on Wednesday, 93 on Thursday, and 89 on Friday, with a very slight chance of storms, again, due to the heat. Around the region, it looks like Albany is in the 80s as well. Fredonia, only in the 70s and mid-80s for the week. In Jamestown, in the 70s. In Lake Placid, starting out in the 60s and might top out in the mid-70s. Oswego, in the 70s, hitting 80. And in Watertown in the 70s, hitting the mid-80s. Around the U.S., Anchorage checking in the 60s. In Honolulu, we're up in the 80s. Of course, Las Vegas is in the triple digits, as well as Palm Springs. Miami in the 90s. Pittsburgh in the 80s. And Washington warm in the 90s. So weather looks pretty good for the coming week. And fingers crossed, it'll be great for next weekend. So let's take a look at what's going to happen around the area with things to do starting on Monday. The Liverpool Concert Series. The Community Concert Band will perform patriotic tunes as part of Liverpool's free summer concert series at Johnson Park. Popcorn, ice cream, soda, and water will be for sale. It's at Tulip and 2nd Streets in Liverpool from 7 to 9 on Monday, and it is free to attend. Syracuse Improv will bring a live improv comedy show with a D&D fantasy twist to the song and dance. The cast interviews an audience member, transforms their answers into a hero, sidekicks, and a villain, and then builds an improvised fantasy adventure complete with a dungeon master, costumes, dice, NPCs, and live sound and lighting. Seats are limited. You must be 18 or older to attend, and you can get your tickets at ticketweb.com. It's at 115 East Jefferson Street in Syracuse. It'll be at 8 p.m. on Monday. Doors will open at 7, and it costs $15.71 to attend. On Tuesday, part tribute band, part musical theater, Summer Nights will bring the spirit of the 1978 classic film Grease to life with songs, dances, costumes, and characters from the story. The show features Grease Lightning, You're the One That I Want, Hopeless Devoted to You, and more in the style of the Bee Gees, Frankie Valli, Olivia Newton-John, and others. Tickets are at turningstone.com. It'll be at the Turning Stone Resort Casino Showroom, 5218 Patrick Road in Verona, at 1 and 3:30 on Tuesday, and tickets are $53.60. Godsmack will bring its tour to Syracuse's Empower Federal Credit Union Amphitheater at Lakeview, headlining a night of hard rock with support from Stone Temple Pilots and Dorothy. The Boston Bred Quartet has racked up 10 number one singles on the Billboard mainstream and active rock charts and sold over 20 million records worldwide. Outside lawn chairs will not be permitted. A limited number of chair rentals will be available for advance payment online or at the venue while supplies last. Tickets are syrvenues.com/p/amphitheater. At 490 Restoration Way in Syracuse, 7 p.m. on Tuesday, lawn seats are $35. Standard tickets will start at $69.20. Weed Sports Speedway will host the opening round of the Empire Super Sprint CNY Speed Week alongside the Dirt Car 358 Modified Series, bringing two top-level dirt racing series to Central New York in one night. The evening will cap off with a fireworks display, making it an early 4th of July celebration. Tickets are at weedsportspeedway.com, where one Speedway Drive in Weedsport. 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the pit games gates open at 4, the grandstands at 5. Adult reserve seating is $40, general admission is $35, ages 11 to 17 are $15, and 10 and under are free. Your pit passes are additional. You can bring your dog to the Crazy Daisy's Garden Cafe Terrace for a pet-friendly happy hour. Free pup cake with any purchase while supplies last, along with local pet-themed vendors and potentially adoptable dogs from a local shelter. All breeds are welcome, though dogs must remain on a leash, stay within the lawn and terrace area, and have to be picked up after. 4693 Kaysen Road in Syracuse from 4 to 8 on Tuesday, and it's free to attend. The Right Mind Syracuse will hold a guided workshop on basic painting techniques. You can create a moon and star scene on a 12 by 12 inch black canvas using acrylic paints, pressed flowers and foliage, plus a faux moth or butterfly. Food and beverages from Harvey's Garden will be available for purchase. The event will be held in the loft, accessible by stairs only. You can register at rightmindsyracuse.com, 1200 East Water Street in Syracuse at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, and it costs $53.30, including materials and your first drink. On Wednesday, Metro Fitness and City of Syracuse are hosting a sunrise yoga series for all skill levels in the Clinton Square on Wednesdays in July. Expert instructors will lead each session through gentle movements and deep stretching. You can bring your mats, although extras will be available. No registration is required. It's at 2 South Clinton Street in Syracuse from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, and it is free. And street parking is free before 9 a.m. The fair, an Oswego-themed farm, family, and freedom, celebrating 250 years of America, brings 5 days of agriculture exhibits, music and other performances, rides, a demolition derby, truck pulls, barrel racing, line dancing, fireworks, a comedy show, mural painting, a scavenger hunt, and a pie-eating contest. Activities will vary by the day. On Wednesday, the rides open at 5 and the parade will start at 6. This will go through July 5th. Free door-to-door transportation available throughout Oswego County from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. by calling 315-598-1514 or 315-806-8497 to get your ride. Details will be at oswegofair.com. It's held at the Oswego County Fairgrounds at 291 Ellisburg Street in Sandy Creek from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. starting on Wednesday. Free admission and some activities do have cost. The Wednesday ride wristband is $25. Cortland Repertory Theater will perform a musical called 9 to 5, the musical, based on the beloved 20th century film with music and lyrics by Dolly Parton. It's at Little York Lake Theater and Pavilion. The story follows the three fed-up co-workers who plan to take revenge on their insufferable boss. Bold, funny, and fiercely empowering, the show celebrates friendship, courage, and the moment a woman finally says, enough. This will run through July 10th. Tickets are at CortlandRep.org. At the 6799 Little York Lake Road in Preble. It is on 7:30 on Wednesdays. Doors at 7 p.m. General admission, $50 to $53. Seniors, $48 to $50. And under 22 and under is $33. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. On Wednesday, Liverpool's summer concert series at Johnson Park will feature The Strangers, who draw from classic 1960s rock acts, including the Yardbirds, the Zombies, and the Temptations. Popcorn, ice cream, soda, and water will be for sale. It's at Tulip and 2nd Streets in Liverpool from 7 to 9 on Wednesday, and it is free to attend. On Thursday, you can bring your dog to Maxwell's for a happy hour social hosted by Lunar Arts Events with dog bingo, raffle drawings at 5 and 7, free pup cups for early arrivals, and a best dressed dog contest. Wear your red, white, and blue at 6:30. Dogs must remain leashed and supervised. Owners are responsible for their pet's behavior. Tickets at eventbrite.com at 122 East Genesee Street in Syracuse. It runs from 4 to 9 on Thursday, and it is $10.38 to attend. Cuban-American vocalist-composer Vanessa Santi, who performs original work rooted in jazz and Afro-Cuban traditions, will open the concert with her three-year-old and guest percussionist Elizabeth Sayer at Ithaca's Bernie Milton Pavilion. Jorge Cuevas and the Caribbean Dance All-Stars will perform traditional and original salsa, merengue, and samba. It's at 100 North Tioga Street in Ithaca from 5 to 8 on Thursday, and it is free to attend. On Friday, the Pathways of Resistance Tour. It's a guided walk through African-American experiences at the Erie Canal from the waterway's origins to contemporary times. It begins at the Erie Canal Museum, and the tour covers about a mile through downtown Syracuse, offering a historical perspective on a chapter of the canal's history that is often overlooked. Reserve a spot at eriecanalmuseum.org/events. 318 Erie Boulevard East in Syracuse, 10:30 Friday morning, and it is $12 for the suggested donation. Ray Brothers Barbecue is helping revive a Hamilton Block Party. It's a beloved local tradition at a new location. The 21 and older event features live music from Blaine Holcomb, Cassidy Lynn, and the Roland Rust, along with a cash bar serving wine, beer, cider, and non-alcoholic drinks. The restaurant food truck will serve barbecue. Details are at Ray Brothers Barbecue on Facebook. Wear RW3 Depot at 44 Milford Street in Hamilton, 5 p.m. on Friday, and it is free to attend. North Syracuse Community Theater will host a tropical themed bingo game with candy prizes, mini games between rounds, and concessions. Hawaiian shirts are encouraged. 700 South Bay Road in North Syracuse. It runs from 6 to 8 coming up on Friday, and doors will open at 5:30. It is $5 per board, and it is a cash-only event. The Syracuse Mets will play Worcester's Red Sox at the MBT Bank Stadium on Friday. And before the first pitch, you can catch the Shylocks, an acoustic blues band. The first 1,000 fans, 21 and older, will get a voucher for a commemorative America's 250th birthday Saranac pint glass, and all fans can enjoy Superstars and post-game fireworks. The tickets are at SyracuseMets.com at 1 Tex Simone Drive in Syracuse, 6:30 Friday. The pregame concert runs from 4:30 to 6. Tickets start at $20 at the box office, $23 online. A Fizzy Friday package of ticket and vouchers will get you two canned drinks, $30 for the outfield box or $35 for the dugout box. The Syracuse Orchestra will perform light classical favorites, patriotic selections, and popular standards at the Pavilion at Emory Park. For all ages, you can pack a picnic. Arrive early for the historical storytelling from Onondaga Historical Society's Bob Searing at 6:30 and stay for the fireworks over the lake. 6914 East Lake Road in Auburn. It's 8 p.m. on Friday, and it is free to attend. Australian rock band The Church will bring its singles focus tour to Homer with hits that defined its five-decade career, including Under the Milky Way, Reptile, Metropolis, and more. The group plans a 28th album this year. Tickets are at TIXR.com. At the Center for the Arts of Homer, 72 South Main Street in Homer. It'll be at 8 p.m. on Friday. Doors open at 7. General admission is $49.96 with discounts for seniors, military, veterans, and members. VIP packages start at over $200. Detroit rapper Skilla Baby will bring his high-energy hip-hop style to the Westcott Theater. VIP sections and bottle service will be available. Ages 21 and older for this event. Details and tickets at thewestcotttheater.com. 54 Westcott Street, Syracuse, 10 to 2 a.m. on Friday. Doors will open at 9, and it starts at $78. The History Center of Tompkins County will trace Ithaca's prohibition history, including speakeasies, saloon raids, church protests, and reform rallies, and reveal how Ithaca earned its names like Rumtown USA and became one of New York's first cities to go dry. Ages 16 and older will run rain or shine. Tickets are at historycenter.net/tours at 110 North Tioga Street in Ithaca at 5:30 on Friday, and it costs $15. Now let's take a look at what's going to happen around the area for the 4th of July. Farm Sanctuary's picnic returns for the 4th of July celebration, including vegan barbecue, live music, and time with rescued farm animals. You can feed watermelon to pigs, browse a local artisan market, and hear a talk from Farm Sanctuary president and co-founder Gene Bauer. Driving directions on Sanctuary's website, farmsanctuary.org/home. You can register at tinyurl.com/farmpignic, P-I-G-N-I-C. 3136 Aikens Road in Watkins Glen from noon to 4 on Saturday. Adults are $30, ages 4 to 12, 15, and under 4 are free. Myers Creek Farm Brewery will host a 4th of July celebration with live music, craft beer, and a view of Cazenovia Lake fireworks. Chuck Shields' Quattro kicks off the afternoon, followed by Chris Eves and the New Normal in the evening. Bring blankets and lawn chairs. There is limited food available until 9. At 33 Rippleton Road in Cazenovia, 11:30 till dark on Saturday, and it is free to attend. Rock band Buck Cherry will perform at the Haven of the Wild. It's known for a hard-driving sound and crowd-pleasing catalog. The band performs a full throttle night of music. Bad Marriage, Day's End, and Don Jameson will also perform. Outside chairs are permitted behind the reserved seating, or you can buy one at the door. Tickets at tinyurl.com/thehaventickets. 1863 New Boston Road in Chittenango, 7 p.m. on Saturday. The doors will open at 5:15. General admission is $30. A VIP party pit, say that three times fast, is $45. And finally, Heritage Hill Brew House will mark its Independence Day and the nation's 250th anniversary with live music, fireworks viewing, lawn games, and a hot dog eating contest. The Hilltop venue offers sightlines to multiple regional fireworks shows, billed as the Ring of CNY Fireworks, along with a sparkler show. Stephen Colley will perform from 6:30 to 9:30. The Lobster Shack will be serving fresh lobster rolls, pulled pork sandwiches, clams, and lobster mac. All ages are welcome. You can get the details at heritagehillbrewery.com. 3149 Sweet Road in Jamesville from noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday, and it is free to attend. Lots of stuff to go out and see for the 4th of July weekend. Whatever you do, enjoy yourself and be safe. Well, if you ever wondered what the writers from the Post Standard do on their time off, there's an article in this week's paper that tells us what Jeff Herbert was doing. He is an extra in a movie, dodging balls as a background actor in Syracuse. Here's his story. What's it like to be an extra in a movie? Well, if you're doing an American High film, it might feel a little bit like going back to school. I am a background actor in the Liverpool-based studio's latest movie, Never Change, now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney+. I play a 35-year-old high school student, forced to go back to class nearly two decades after North Middle High School's 2008 senior year was cut short by a disastrous tornado. It's written by John Reynolds of Stranger Things and directed by Marty Schausbo of Never Change. It can star Reynolds, Sophia Black Diala from Single Drunk Female, Carmen Christopher from The Bear, Joe Firestone from The Singles Retreat, and Gary Richardson of Saturday Night Live. The cast also includes Topher Grace from That 70s Show, Randy Pankow from Outer Banks, Anna Gasteyer from SNL, Zach Cherry from Severance, Joe Pera, Sunita Mani, Mac Baratz, and as the credits revealed last week, a voice acting role by Jackass star Johnny Knoxville. Never Change was filmed in the Syracuse area last fall, primarily at American High's headquarters, the former A.V. Zog Middle School and Liverpool High School. For 2 days, I walked in and around the building pretending to be a student along with dozens of other actors, as the cast amped up the ridiculousness of the premise with jokes and oddball antics. If that sounds like fun, it should, but it's also work with long days, especially when I was dodging balls in gym class. So what does your day look like as an extra? On my first day as an extra, our call time was 8 a.m. We were asked to bring multiple outfits in order to depict multiple days of school. What followed was a 13-hour day with lots of hurry up and waits, repeating scenes over multiple takes. We wore backpacks and open lockers, pretended to talk to each other in a cafeteria, or repeatedly walked in and out of the buildings as the cameras rolled. On a pretty chilly October day, we spent 2 hours trying not to shiver outside for a scene that lasted less than 20 seconds. For a school hallway scene, I spent 2 hours walking past characters as they talked, sometimes getting interrupted by a janitor. Funnily enough, there's a small continuity area in the movie as I walk past them in a black and white shirt twice around the 45:59 mark and again at the 46:06 mark. During downtime, everyone's friendly. Background actors share stories about other movies they've done, joke about backstories for their, quote, characters, or read, knit, or eat. We got one lunch break during the day, and they network. Most see it as something fun and different to do. Others hope to get involved in production as crew members or more. My second day on set was also more than 12 hours long, but felt even longer because of the physical activity. Some extras got dressed up in suits and gowns to perform prom dancing scenes, while I put on a not-so-flattering gym uniform for physical education class. For more than 2 hours, I and a handful of other extras played dodgeball with the main cast, while 50 other background extras ran laps around the gym. I continuously picked up, threw, and dodged brightly colored balls as the two love interests had a conversation on one side of the gym. One of the actors hit me in the leg pretty hard with the ball once, and I slipped and fell down on another take, but still kept moving. It was a real workout, so I wore a headband to avoid getting sweat on my hearing aids. In the movie, I am repeatedly visible behind Matt Klinger, like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber, as he's hit in the crotch with balls. There's no guarantee that you'll appear in the movie. My face is visible multiple times in Never Change, most significantly when waiting in line for our school IDs. For a few seconds, I appear along Katie as she watches Sonny get his picture taken. In other scenes, I'm a blurry figure in the background pretending to be to drink at a school play's cast after party or exiting the front doors during a bomb threat. I was featured for a scene in the cafeteria as part of a small group of computer nerds, hence my dorky outfit for picture day, but was cut and never appeared in the movie. One background I actor spoke with waited all day to film one specific role, appearing briefly in one shot. Others said they've done multiple films, were only visible in some of them. I was previously an extra in another Syracuse shot film, Plain Clothes, but my face was never visible. I was walking around a mall filmed at the galleries of Syracuse as an undercover police officer, and we were conducting a sting operation. But I did, however, manage to make Blythe laugh when I started walking backwards up an escalator that was moving down to avoid interrupting his shot. I wasn't visible on camera at the moment, but he could see me. He stayed in character like a pro, but as soon as the word cut was shouted, he cracked up. I also once signed on to be an extra for a party scene in the 2014 John Cusack movie Adult World, but dropped out due to the scheduling. In the scene, actors Emma Roberts and Evan Peters were shot tightly in a dark room, so everyone else simply appeared as shadowy figures. Most of the fun of being an extra is being able to see yourself on screen and say, "That's me." But there's no guarantee you'll get to do that, and your name won't appear in the credits. As an extra, you get the fun part of being part of something bigger than yourself. You also get to learn a lot about the filmmaking process, including how scenes are set up, shot and edited, or the subtle differences in the actor's performance with each take. It's also fun to see how a room can be transformed into multiple different scenes based on the backgrounds, lighting, props, or costumes. After being on set for 25 hours over 2 days, I was understandably tired, but I gained a new appreciation for all the hard work that the cast and crew do to entertain an audience. Extras also get to see the fun details that might not be obvious to an audience, like the team mascot or a sign in the gym that says, "Welcome to our OOL," encouraging students to leave the pee out of pool. In the dodgeball scenes, everyone has their character names written on their gym clothes. Extras had to use their real names, although we don't get to keep the costumes. Though most importantly, background actors help bring a scene to life, making it more real. They also make it more visually interesting and help tell a richer story. "Extras are the lifeblood," one crew member said before filming a scene. How much do you get paid? You're listening to a reading of features and articles from the Post Standard on the Frontier Radio Reading Service. Pay can vary, sometimes depending on your size of the production or the size of your role. If you're a SAG-AFTRA member, you can get a higher rate. Extras are not required to join the union, but membership benefits do include access to health plans, retirement funds, and an AI actor online casting database. As a background actor on my first day, I was paid slightly more than a New York State's minimum wage. However, I received time and a half if the day went longer than 8 hours, which happens often on a film shoot, and a free lunch. On the second day, I was a featured background actor. That means I appeared more prominently in at least one scene and was paid nearly twice as much, including some double overtime and additional wages for wardrobe fitting. Pay rates can be similarly go up when an actor has a day player status with speaking lines or more significant roles. The rules for extras vary by production, but The Hollywood Reporter has created a great list of 13 commandments about being a background actor. Rule number one is to not talk to the principal actors unless spoken to, and don't ask them for photos or autographs. They're at work trying to do a job. Extras should also be as silent as possible when the cameras are rolling, including pantomiming instead of actually speaking. You mouth the words peas and carrots, and it looks like you're saying just about anything, and people can't read your lips usually. Filming days also run long, and most scenes require leaving cell phones behind, so that can make you unavailable to friends, family, and your other jobs. Be patient. Go to the bathroom and eat food only during breaks, because you might otherwise be waiting a long time. Background actors are often not told much about a scene or where it will be, so productions might have fake names, especially to avoid spoilers from leaking. Everyone's discouraged from posting anything online before the film comes out. And also be prepared to do your own clothing, hair, and makeup to wear as costumes. If you have a visible tattoo, you probably need to cover it up. And the obvious one, be professional, show up on time, follow instructions, and be respectful. So, how do you become an actor? Extra. To become an extra, look for open casting calls online or sign up with a casting company. Annie Delano of AND Casting has done casting for background actors in more than 20 movies in Central New York. Those who sign up at andcasting.com can get alerts whenever a new movie is filming in the Syracuse area and needs extras, stand-ins, or even speaking roles. Free actor profiles can include informational help for producers, such as photos, height, weight, gender, skills, and other film and TV credits. Other casting calls are often posted on social media pages or websites like backstage.com, and not all are paid roles. So that was my experience in being an extra on a local movie. So the kids are out of school, and they're already bored. Well, here's some free or cheap summer activities for you. Day three, it's about when the summer magic turns into summer mayhem. The pantry's been raided, every screen in the house is exhausted, and someone, probably the smallest one, is so dramatically announcing they're so bored. A recent survey found that 2/3 of parents struggle to afford summer activities, spending close to $900 per child, and 62% go into debt to cover that. Before you spend a single dollar on summer entertainment, the summer's kids actually remember almost never cost much. A hose, a library card, a Saturday drive somewhere near. And so here are some of the best free and nearly free activities, and some of it is probably only 10 minutes from your home. Go to your local library. Almost every public library in America runs a summer reading program, and it's free. We're talking weekly events, prizes, sometimes special performances. A library card unlocks books and also free streaming through Canopy or Hoopla, free museum passes, music downloads, and homework help, all for free. Communities run summer programs all the time, like cheap movies. Regal's summer program and AMC's version run popular kids' films for $1 to $2 a ticket all summer long. Pack snacks from home and a Tuesday morning becomes a whole event. Your city or county parks department almost certainly has a summer music series. Most museums offer at least one free day a month. You can look it up and write it on your calendar. And the National Park Service offers a few free days across the national parks coming up July 3rd to 5th, August 21st, and September 17th. You don't need Pinterest perfect summers. You need a handful of things kid will reach for when the boredom hits. The hose, a sprinkler, a tarp, and some dish soap will make you a slip and slide, and kids will do this for hours. Get some sidewalk chalk and play hopscotch, obstacle courses, and draw a mural. Do a scavenger hunt. Handwritten list of 10 things you need to find. Think red, leaf, smooth rock, feather, Y-shaped stick, and set a timer. Homemade obstacle courses with pillows, jump ropes, chalk lines, and a cardboard box. They'll reconfigure it for hours. Bug hunting with a magnifying glass and a patch of grass. Genuinely scientific and completely free, or even look for four-leaf clovers. In the kitchen, cooking and baking with kids can double as an actual life skill. Even young kids can make their own lunch with toast and peanut butter and fruit, or they can bake basic cookies or banana bread with supervision. You can run a kid-led lemonade stand on a Saturday afternoon, or make popsicles from juice or yogurt in a plastic mold or ice tray. You can plan a weekly kid chef dinner where they pick and help out with one meal. Or how about a free day trip? Pick a Saturday, make a thermos of coffee for you, and make a thermos of drinks for them. Pack peanut butter sandwiches in a cooler of water. Drive an hour to a state park, a lake, a river trail, or a small town you've never been to. Your cost, gas, and the food in your fridge. Many organizations run free or near-free summer programs that fly under the radar. Like Home Depot's Kid Workshops, they're free building projects, usually the first Saturday of the month for kids from 5 to 12. They'll get an apron, the materials, and a finished thing to take home. Michaels and Lowe's also run similar programs. Or they can go to Apple Camp with free creative workshops, Apple stores for kids from 8 to 12. YMCA, Financial Assistant, can offer reduced cost programs. And your community pool day passes often are $3 to $5 with a whole afternoon of supervised swimming. Kids don't need to be busy every minute. Some of the most creative play comes from the kid with nothing to do and a few hours to figure it out. The pressure to entertain children constantly is a fairly recent development. Your goal isn't a packed schedule, it's a usable rhythm. A few free outings, a free backyard classic, a kitchen project here and there, and a lot of glorious unstructured time in between. By August, you'll have spent almost nothing, and your kids will have a summer to remember. And speaking of taking your kids' places for the summer, a lot of people go to water parks. In fact, there are 1,300 water parks in the United States, and 85 million people visit them each year. As a parent, it's important to know what to look for if you're planning a trip to an indoor or outdoor water park. Know the rules of the park. Water slides are the number one cause of injuries at the water parks. Follow the ride directions, like rules like feet first are there to keep the rider safe. Pay attention to the size and weight restrictions on the rides. Riders who are too small can be thrown from a ride, and riders who exceed the maximum weight restriction can get stuck in the chutes or build up excessive speed and exit the ride too fast. Also, watch for the maximum number of riders allowed and make sure your children follow the rules. Also know your children's swimming ability and take that into account. Statistically, wave pools carry the biggest drowning risk as they can be dangerous for smaller children or weak swimmers and can be chaotic with large number of people bobbing in the water, and it makes it difficult for the lifeguards to spot a swimmer in trouble. Close parental supervision is important. Parents should stay within arm's reach of a young or weak swimmer. Keep your eyes on your children and consider having them use a life jacket. Know what can be in the water besides other swimmers and chlorine. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, most people have about 0.414 grams. Okay, that's disgusting. E. coli, 58% of public pools tested positive for it. So be aware. Cryptosporidium, a parasite that can cause stomach illnesses, has a high tolerance for chlorine, as it can survive long periods in chlorinated swimming pool. Both E. coli and crypto make swimmers very ill, sometimes leading to hospitalization. So teach your children not to drink pool water and to take frequent bathroom breaks. If they're in diapers, check the diapers frequently to avoid the water park, and avoid the water park if your kid's sick. Shower before or and after swimming. Look into how the water park is monitored and regulated. Saferparks.org has a list of how amusement parks are regulated by each state. There's also a chart showing how injuries are to be reported and whether there's public record of reported injuries. Safety extends beyond the pool as well. Bring and use your sunscreen, and also bring water to keep everyone hydrated. Whether it's an indoor or outdoor park, water shoes are a good investment. Pool deck surfaces get slippery from a mix of water and sunscreen, and teach your children to walk, not run, along slippery surfaces. So what else can we do this summer outdoors? Well, there are 12 jaw-dropping upstate waterfalls in this week's paper to put on your bucket list by Chuck D'Imperio. There are more than 2,000 waterfalls in more than 600 locations around Empire State, and the upstate New York region is loaded with them. So here's a dozen of the best from the Hudson Valley and Central New York, as well as the Finger Lakes and Western New York. Some are huge, most are impressive, others are record setters, where one at 30 feet high is probably the most curious waterfall destination you will find in the Northeast. Keep a list for your summer road trips and explore them all. And remember these words of caution: slippery when wet. Catterskill Falls in the Catskill Mountains is the highest cascading waterfall in New York. It's a two-tier drop that's 260 feet, and drivers who pass by on the winding Route 23A can almost feel the mist as the road bends in a sharp hairpin tour close to the cascade. Maybe second only to Niagara Falls as far as fame and recognition are concerned. It's tucked high in the eastern Catskills in Thomas Cole Country. The famous artist and founder of the Hudson River School of Arts painted these falls as early as 1826. It's a popular summer hiking destination for nature lovers, and trail direction signs are plainly posted. It is between the towns of Palinville and Haynes Falls. Rainbow Falls, also known as Aw-Sable Chasm, is a pretty waterfall viewed best from the highway that crosses it from above. The waterfall cascades down a steep gorge and then into a 95-foot drop into the Aw-Sable River. Rainbow Falls is 4 miles from Kent. Here, for decades, people took a one-hour ferry across Lake Champlain to Burlington, Vermont, but that service closed since COVID-19. There is a little known but fascinating museum near the falls that tells the important story role folks played in this area of the state. The North Star Underground Railroad Museum is well worth a visit. The Taughannock Falls, which I'm sure I said it wrong, T-A-U-G-H-A-N-N-O-C-K, is in the Finger Lakes, and it could be no more different than Niagara Falls if it tried. While Niagara thunders and roars its way to the bottom in a spectacularly water scrum, the falls here takes a different approach. It winds its way over a crest of a 400-foot gorge where it channels gracefully into a dive over the edge and enters the water 215 feet below. The state park that bears its name is a lovely place to spend the day, especially during the shimmering autumn. It's 6 miles north of the city of Ithaca on the west side of Cayuga Lake. Chitnango Falls in central New York, we know where that is. High Falls in Rochester, of course Niagara Falls. Waterfalls at Letchworth State Park and Watkins Glen State Park Waterfalls. All of those are wonderful places to visit if you're looking for waterfalls in central New York. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the weekend edition of the Post Standard. Your reader has been Donna. Next weekend, I will not be doing a reading, but I'll be back the weekend after. So enjoy your 4th, and again, be safe. And thank you for listening.